Podcasting 2.0 for November 13th, 2020, episode 11, and we're streaming sats, baby! Three sats at a time, but it's a start! Once again, it's a Friday. It's Adam Curry as we run down the latest developments in podcasting 2.0 at podcastindex.org. And some call him Dave, the dev from down south. I call him the dream maker. Dave Jones, everybody.
I'm alive. I didn't die.
He lives. He lives.
I did. I'm not the man I used to be, but I'm half of that. I'm half the man I used to be. That's got to count for something, right?
Oh, man. Dave. So are you still home? Are you still quarantining? What's the deal?
Yeah, I mean, me and my whole family. So we're a 2-week quarantine. I was in one bedroom of my house for 11 days.
Ugh.
My wife's a teacher, and then my kids go to, or two of my kids go to her school. And so, teacher stuff, I mean, they locked that down.
Oh, yeah.
If you're COVID, yeah, anybody in your house is COVID positive, you are in the quarantine. So we were all quarantined here.
Yeah.
And I was pretty sick. And so, my family shunned me into the room.
Now, was it just the Rona that got you sick, or was it writing the namespace elements that got you sicker?
I don't know. Namespaces are fun.
Woo!
They jazz me up.
Hey, like, remember, this show is all about namespace, after all. I mean, that's what drew that huge audience in is our sexy reads of namespaces. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You draw them in with the namespace, and you keep them with a bunch of lightning stuff that they don't understand.
Exactly.
Hey, I want to say this, though. I want to say this right out the gate. We did a half an episode on Lightning protocol and Bitcoin stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as of yet today, a week later, I have not heard from one Bitcoin person who emailed us and said that we're full of crap. We don't know what we're talking about. We're jerks. We're noobs. I mean, like, I was fully expecting to get hounded by the Bitcoin people of like, y'all are a bunch of idiots. you said everything wrong. Nothing made any sense, but we didn't. I'm calling that a win.
It's a big win. And of course, now you have invited the boogeyman in, obviously.
Yeah.
What's good about it is, and I've looked at this too, because, you know, typically on Twitter, you get some pushback and there's been the expected BSV fans, Bitcoin Cash, and that kind of stuff, and basically they're saying you're doing it wrong. You should do it with this. To which my answer is great. I mean, the more systems we can put into this, the better. Bring it on. I mean, this is we're just pushing the stuff, just pushing it to make something happen. And allow me to say something up front, because I have been contacted by a lot of people in the Bitcoin. I'm going to use the word community in the community, in the community. And I've already done a couple of interviews on some Bitcoin podcasts. You see, today, Peter dropped, and I said it, dropped the...
You're out of control.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm losing it. The What Bitcoin Did episode, which I listened to in its entirety, and I'm very happy of how much of the story I got out in coherent fashion. He's a very gracious guy, and I enjoyed myself very much. But the more that comes in, I want to make one thing very clear. Every single line of code of this project has either been written, managed, or merged by Dave Jones. And there's no team. Nothing in Sofia, Bulgaria. I don't think Dave craves limelight or anything like that, but it's, I crave giving it to you because you have really, I mean, throughout the decade, this is kind of, we looked at ourselves and said, hey, maybe this is the one. And just to throw back to episode one, you know, we've been developing really cool things that pretty much only work for me. And well, of course, Dave, you wanted to use it as well. I mean, we both use the tools, and we've never really hit on anything that would make sense for, you know, for the public at large. Lots of great ideas, but it's always been Dave doing the coding. I do the breaking. That's my job. And some of our devs at podcastindex.social have seen how deft I am at this.
I don't think people understood when you said, give me your stuff and I'll break it. Yeah. I don't think they understood exactly how efficient you are at that process.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. They know now though.
So, from your partner here, Dave, thank you so much. It's it's incredible the amount of, and, you know, even working straight through the Rona, man. I mean, that's like danger pay.
Danger pay. I want time and a half. let me just say that I'm so like, it's so nice to be able to like talk to somebody outside of the house. this is wonderful.
Podcasting is saving Dave's life.
Yeah. I'm jitty. I'm jitty.
So much has happened, and maybe we just take a little pause and review where we are, as this all started off with the creation of the index and the namespace and pushing that forward and having implementations on in the podcast index, of course, but then apps that actually take this information, feeds are now starting to come online, and with that come the hosting companies who will support a lot of these newer features. I just wanted to say for people who are maybe new, the beauty of what's happening here, and it doesn't matter whether it's adding chapters functionality or if it's a value block which splits up Lightning Bitcoin payments. The beauty of this system is that it remains decentralized by nature. In order to make it easy for developers, that's why the index exists. But all of this stuff, and we were just on a little chat earlier on the chat app, and it just hit me again how cool it is that people can actually control what happens in a more meaningful way now by changing their RSS feed. So yeah, we're aggregating, we're providing API services to make it fast and make it functional. But, you know, I love the fact that we could blow up and dry away and it would still work tomorrow. Yeah. That makes me so happy.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, that's the cool part about the way that the whole value block thing works, is because you can stick that in there. And then you can just, you know, like you can tweak it or whatever you want. And it doesn't depend. You don't have to go ask somebody. Like, you don't have to go, like, you know, set up your account and all this kind of jazz kind of stuff. You don't do any of that. I mean, it's your feed. You just change it. Exactly. You know, and all we're doing is handing it back, you know, because that's the thing, is like, we wanted to make from the beginning is we wanted to make this thing, the API part of the index, something so that it's easy for new apps to get into the game. And yeah, I think you see that with Sphinx, and we really need to talk about Sphinx and how that works, because there's still
confusion.
Yeah. And it's understandable.
No, it's very understandable. And I knew that this would be somewhat of a challenge to have people expecting a podcast app drop into a Sphinx tribe and like, what is going on? You just have to understand how all the pieces fit together and what is unique and what is the common infrastructure. But
you
also
want me to give it a shot. You want me to give it a shot?
I'd like you to, but I want to say one thing up front, that our marketing department, my wife, who, by the way, she's a C-level marketing executive from nonprofits, and she's been in this all her life. She's the one that said red donate button. She's the one that hammers into me the number one reason people don't donate to nonprofits or to any cause is because they're not asked. And I just want to explain the value for value model, which is how the pledge system works, just to revisit that so people understand, because I still hear a little bit of confusion or you just have to see the examples to know that it works. When you ask someone to support your podcast and you do it in a manner which is based upon the value, so this is something you have to say to your audience, to your listeners, however you address them. is that you're listening right now. That clearly has some value to you. Otherwise, you'd turn it off. What is that value? And you can provide all kinds of examples of how people spend their time. But it's really, you're asking them, what is their time worth? And if they say, hey, that's $1 an hour, and I'm spending my attention, but I'm also consuming this, I'm liking this, I'm going to send you $1 an hour. You'd be surprised if you make that completely open, how many people will send you $5 an hour. And I've learned this from 13 years doing this with the No Agenda show by making it open-ended. We did almost from the beginning. He said, send me whatever you think it's worth. And I use the example of if you listen to us for 2 hours, if you went to the movies, took a date, had a drink, had some popcorn, it cost you $40, $50. Did you have the same type of enjoyment these last 2 hours? Was it more? Was it less? Whatever that is, send that to us in a PayPal. And a lot of people would send $5. Some would send $50. Some would send $500. And believe it or not, some send $5,000. It is unbelievable because you don't know how someone else values something. So we took that concept and baked it into this ultimate value for value, which is time-based. That's what I love about it. I'm listening. I'm sending you value back. It's completely voluntary. There's no cutoff. There's no you don't get the feed. 99% guaranteed will not participate. They will just listen to your content and never send anything. But the more you solidify this message, the more it works. And in general, people find it a lot less annoying than commercials. And so the entire concept here is built upon that foundation, which allows us to cut, really to make shortcuts through all of the how is it served up, how do you receive the bits when you don't receive the bits. All of that is just negated by saying, hey, you can listen to or watch whatever you want. Just think about the value return. There's other proven models such as Patreon, a simple PayPal donation button. These things do work. With podcasting, it's unique because you can ask the audience and remind them to do this. So that's the underpinning of the reason, the use case for the pledge model in podcasting.
And so, I mean, it really boils down to just don't put a price on your own stuff.
Like, yeah.
Don't say, hey, if you like it, give us X number of dollars per whatever, because then you're limiting what the other person's value proposition is.
In fact, sorry to interrupt. Yeah. I'd like everyone who's listening to us on Sphinx app right now, the Sphinx chat, I'd like you to tap on the podcasting 2.0 at the top of the app and crank that value slider, everybody. We want that up to 100 sats. Crank it all the way to the right and boost us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, why would you say, if you go to the, I'm going to make economists mad now. So I think that's called subjective value, right? I mean, there's just that's why the market has to find out prices of things.
Yes.
That's why when you introduce a new product to the market, you can't say, oh, well, this is worth $15.99, because nobody knows yet.
Right.
And that's the whole idea. It's like, you can't know how much something is worth to somebody else. I mean, you can, and I can tell you this, I think programmers will understand this more than most, is that there's always been a strong sort of imposter syndrome problem that runs through developers. It's been this way for as long as I can ever remember. And a lot of it has to do with just the fact that there's blowhard developers out there that like to shame other people for not knowing something and that kind of thing. And when you have that, when that's the culture in whatever industry you're at, you always tend to devalue your own value. And I had a friend of mine tell me this a long time ago. He said it like this. He said, when something, because I was kind of talking along these same lines about, I was wanting to do something. I said, well, I mean, that's not very valuable, or whatever the terminology I used. And he was like, he said, you don't need to think that way, because when you're really good at something, it feels easy to you. And But that doesn't mean that it's not valuable to somebody else who can't do it.
Right. You make it look too easy, man.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It was like a lot of people when you have certain skills, even if they may that you've been doing for a long time, whether it's programming or sysadmin work or whatever it is, or marketing or anything like that. When you do them, because you've been doing them for so long, it doesn't feel difficult to you. And we incorrectly as humans, we still apply this labor value, the labor idea of value.
Right.
Yeah. Where it's only valuable when it's hard,
mm-hmm.
But that's not the way it really works. I mean, we got away from that with Adam Smith a long time ago.
It's interesting you say that. It was being in entertainment. Certainly when growing up in the Netherlands, I was on television, very Calvinistic society. You know, people would come up to my face and say, it's unbelievable you make this money. It's crazy. I mean, it's not a hard job. What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, I agreed.
Yeah.
Like, hell yeah. This is crazy. But with podcasts, with this system, we essentially, and I like what you said about the market, from a market perspective, we set the value at zero. It's free to take. You can pick it right up. It's been that way for a long time. Pick it up, take it, take whatever you want. Now, should you like it? Should you wish for it to continue? And I think people have seen during the shutdowns, lockdowns, that if you don't support your local restaurant, your local store, your local grocer, etc., certainly in times of trouble, they go away. They go away. Yeah. I mean, and I know lots of people, ourselves included, who were doing whatever we could to support our local restaurants, even though it was takeout. You know, I left them a tip equal to the booze we drink, you know, that kind of stuff. So that is a very humane way of dealing with each other. And perhaps it's, you know, without the necessity for a trusted third party when transferring value, certainly when it comes to, you know, let's just call it money, Bitcoin, I think the whole world would look a lot more like a horse trading market. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, yeah, this, no, not that. Okay, bye. Best price. All right. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked about one a couple shows ago, maybe, that the number of people out there's some poll that I'd seen, the number of people out there that want, it's like, why do you podcast? And it was something like 47%. I can't remember the exact number of people were like, just basically for the hell of it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even trying to make money.
Right.
And I think that plays into a lot of things. I mean, not just, you know, the Lightning stuff or any of that kind of, I mean, that plays into a whole lot of what's going on in podcasting right now. I sent you a clip. It actually plays into something we'll talk about later, but like, I think that means that has a lot of ramifications for the podcast industry. It means that not only are people not obsessed with getting paid, but they're open to just any way of getting paid. I mean, like, that, you know, I mean, even like if you're doing a podcast, I've heard so many podcasts now that we've got the index and it's easy to just kind of hop in and out of stuff. I've heard so many podcasts now where it's just, it's just a dude talking into his phone, and like, it's so clear that they just don't, that this person just doesn't care about the monetization aspect. They're not going to go sell ads. They're not going to try to get a deal. I mean, they're just not doing that.
Right.
And so, but if that person can get, you know, $20 a month worth of Lightning payments where they could cover their, Blueberry hosting cost or whatever, I mean, that'd be great for them. And they'd set up a node just to get that. You know, it's not like it's hard entry point. So,
well,
I think it lowers that bar of that difficulty.
Well, once you have the river flowing, and I am hereby declaring it flowing because I'm seeing it, then all it is just multipliers. How do you make it more? I mean, I'm looking at the podcast index, and we're getting about 3 sats a minute. But it's continuously 3 sats a minute. That's the 1% of whatever's flowing through right now only the Sphinx app and a couple of tribes. Now, there's a lot of people boosting. There's a lot of over-boosting. There's a lot of gratuitous boosting. I see you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
And I boost myself from time to time in there, which is illegal. It's illegal in 23 states.
You can't do that. You'll go blind that way. You can't do
that. But that even by itself, okay, well, we can get into, because, you know, my head goes crazy when I think of all the possibilities. You were going to take a stab at talking about Sphinx and how it all works and fits together.
Yeah, I just want to go from, like, try to do this from start to finish. There's still confusion amongst even people who are, you know, Bitcoin people about what exactly is going on here. And let me just try to give it a rundown here. So from start to finish, you're a podcaster. You have, let's just say you have a Bitcoin podcast. You, in your XML feed, for your podcast, you will put in the value element with value recipients in it. And so it's in the simplest way, it is a value element, and inside of that is a value recipient element with the node key of your Lightning node in it and a 100% value in the split. So you've basically declared, you've declared to the world, here is my Lightning public node key, and it's going to be, and 100% of any donations that go to this podcast are going to go to that node, that Lightning node key. We aggregate the value block along with everything else that we pull in when we do feed aggregation. We aggregate it, we store it. Then when applications request your feed, information about your feed from the index, we hand them back, along with everything else, we just hand them back the value block with the node ID in it. Okay, so that's the basic way. I mean, it's very simple.
You actually tell that very much like Mr. Rogers, and it's quite nice to listen to. Keep going at that pace. I really do enjoy it.
I'm changing my shoes right now, my sweater vest. So you may lose me for a second. I'm going to bring out puppets. How about that?
Sure.
Okay, so then it's fair, and it's just simple, straight up. You put it in your feed, and we hand it back to whatever apps ask for it. The only app currently that does anything with it is Sphinx. And what the Sphinx chat app does is you can create a tribe once you're in Sphinx. You can create what's called a tribe, which is just think of it like a chat room. You can create a chat room, which is called a tribe. And in the tribe settings, you specify your podcast feed URL. Okay, if you're a Sphinx user, you have a Lightning node assigned to you. That's the way Sphinx works. Sphinx works by layering chat services on top of Lightning nodes. Okay, so what you have when you're a Sphinx user is a Lightning node that belongs to you, and you create a tribe and put your podcast's feed URL in the tribe settings, and now every time somebody joins your tribe and listens to your podcast using that tribe podcasting functionality, which will exist because you've now put your feed URL in it, anytime somebody listens, it will begin to stream sats to the public key that you listed in your XML at the very beginning of this process. And the reason is because Sphinx Chat uses the podcast index API to get that information. So you put your feed URL in the tribe. Anytime somebody refreshes the tribe or enters it or whatever, Sphinx Chat makes a request to the podcast index API, gets your value block keys there, and that way they know where to send the sats. I hope that makes sense. It's a very, the thing that makes it complicated to understand initially is that Sphinx is, there's a meta idea here within Sphinx that you're not, the Sphinx is not itself a direct podcast player app that you're used to. Sphinx is a chat app that has layered podcasting into the Tribe system that they have. It's a beautiful way to do it because it's basically like a chat room.
Oh no, it's incredible what it delivers in extra functionality. It's a lot of fun. Definitely.
It's just confusing initially because you're like, what am I doing? I mean, like, it's just so foreign to what we're used to as a podcast. We're used to that, what you've talked about before, that inbox style podcast app.
Yeah. In fact, the way I view the Tribes, or the way I explain it to people who are just witnessing it, it's like a one show app player. It's a one show podcast player. So a Tribe is a podcast player for one show, the one that you're interested in. Joining the Tribe is like subscribing, and this subscription comes with a chat and all kinds of fun stuff you can do in that.
Yeah, and that's a great way to describe it.
Yeah, and what gets really interesting, and I don't know, I mean, just for the stuff that's layered on top, is the way they've set it up. It's Sphinx Chat. Is you have the boost button. You can then, you know, just throw 100 or more Satoshis to the show. Now, they've put their own internal logic in that to flow that through the same value block and whatever's in that block so that everyone gets a piece of that as well. So they're starting to layer on top of the layer already. It's really phenomenal.
Yeah, I think one thing that I saw that was, I forgot who mentioned this. It may have been somebody in the Sphinx Tribe for Tales from the Crypt. But somebody mentioned, and it kind of blew me away. I don't know if you had thought of this before, but somebody was like, hey, there should be a value block. And they said something like, when is somebody going to use the value block to fund a multi-part documentary? Mm. And it was like, okay, do a video podcast, not even an audio, take a video podcast and put the value block in the feed and like release it as a serial. And then you essentially got like pay direct. It's like YouTube at that point, but it's like you're self-funding or self-publishing or not. That's not the wrong way. Well, producing. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Right. Well, there's one piece that we skip or that you made that you simplified on purpose. And that is the value block. It's a percentage for each entry in that value block. So 100% is how you start with just your key. And then the index would like to add 1% to the index's key for processing this, since we have no other business model, and we, except for the value for value, which we do need to thank some people in a moment.
Lots of people. We got two weeks worth.
So the app needs to get something, and we've suggested 1%. And that's when the podcaster can start adding in these other percentages, just like you mentioned, for everyone who participated in the documentary or, you know, whatever you want it to be, whatever you want it to be, actually.
Yeah. You could have three. You could have the guy who's the director, the person who's the, maybe a couple of producers.
We're basically blowing up ASCAP, BMI, all the royalty agencies, all the performing rights agencies, all the publishing company infrastructure. It is truly that when you see digital money that way, it gets exciting, man. Holy crap.
You could literally have 10 people in that split block all getting money. And you don't, the other cool thing is you don't have to split it up. Right. It just gets split by the app automatically. And so everybody just gets their assigned portion. You don't have to worry about asking for a check, because you're just getting it directly.
Right.
The other thing I thought was cool when along those lines was something like Substack. I mean, there's no reason that this has to be tied to just podcast feeds. You could easily put this in a generic RSS feed and people just boost, you can have reader apps that people just boost it inside Feedbin or whatever.
So right.
Yeah. I mean, like what's to keep Feedly and Feedbin and NetNewsWire from doing also the same strapping thing. A wallet on.
Yeah. And about that, and actually, it's been and I got Paul and particularly Paul, because we've had the most contact with him, but, you know, and Evan, and there's a bunch of people over at Sphinx who have really been great partners. And we just met and we said, let's do this together. And that's where we're at. We all have kind of the same goal in mind, is to make all these things possible and push this independence further. And then he deflated as he completely lost his train of thought.
You may save you. Please do. I'm eating a chocolate biscuit right now. I'm trying not to cough my brains out. This stuff gets so it just gets down deep in you. Like, okay, so.
Oh, I know where I was going.
All right, go for it.
Thank you. Before I forget. So they've been so nice and so gracious with their contacts as well. And so next Thursday after the No Agenda show, I'm going to speak at a Bitcoin meetup here in Austin. That's Ryan from Lightning Labs is hosting that.
That's cool.
And Ryan has hooked me up with Roy from Breeze. So I'm excited about that, because from what Dave and I have seen, the Breeze mobile wallet functions in a way that it can perform key send outbound. Since it's a mobile wallet, doesn't have a watchtower or anything else, or that I know of. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but it certainly can't receive key send at the moment, unless they buffered that somewhere else. But as a way to bake Lightning stuff into an app, I think they pretty much already have everything you'd need. But I'm going to have a chat with him on Tuesday, and you know, maybe they'll create a reference app for us or something. I mean, I just am so excited about all this code laying around, and I know that if they just put those bits together and some people talk for a little bit, I know it would work. I can see
it's
it.
It's so simple.
It's just code. Learn to code. What's your problem, people? Come on.
Learn to code.
Learn to code.
Code camp. Free code camp.
That's my favorite asshole politician thing to say.
What? Learn to code.
Learn to code. Yeah. Six months. Don't worry about it. You'll be great. Oh my God. That's how, it's not poli sci, you know, it's a little poli-sci. More. It's a little more.
No, I think if there's a reference app out there, like if there was like a skeleton app somewhere on GitHub or wherever it needs to be, and that just kind of shows the basics of, okay, here's how you here's a wallet and a podcast player app together in one, just like, okay, here you go, just do this. That would be so, man, that would be so nice.
Yeah,
just have a great starting point for people to just look at it, because I think you agree with me, like the podcast, it's easier for a podcasting it's easier for a Lightning app to put in podcast functionality than it is for a podcast app to put in Lightning functionality.
Yeah.
It seems that way to me.
Yeah. From the current knowledge base. Probably. Yeah. But the overarching thing that's really nice here, and I think that we see it, and I'm sure that Paul sees it, and Ryan, and is that podcasting may just be that application that gets enough people into Bitcoin, and just when not just Bitcoin specifically, but thinking about digital money and how everything changes, because it's big. It's so big when you start to think about it. And exactly as you said, you know, the next step should be a Substack. Now there's already paywalls with URLs that come that some wallets have baked in. But when you get something that people, a podcast app is real personal, you know, and people get attached to it and they like it. And they often have feedback loops with the developers. So, you know, these relationships are going to create more software, more things, that utilize this type of functionality. And because podcasting is pretty broad, man, it's a lot of people. You get one more show online, you're bringing now maybe 100, maybe 1,000, maybe 100,000 people. I mean, it goes exponential at a certain point, and it markets itself. So we just need a few more kickstarts, and I'm not sure when Sphinx is going full App Store,
But I hope it's soon.
Yeah. And I hope that there's a way to position it. I mean, this is, you know, the onboarding is always, that's, we've always said that can't be our problem.
Yeah. Someone else has to do that.
Yeah. But, you know, we'll see.
But what you were talking about in people's podcasting apps and stuff being so personal, I was actually reading an article this morning. It was saying, the title of the article is from back in December of last year. It says, back when the world was normal, but it says Spotify spent the title Spotify spent a lot of money on podcasting, so it wants you to start listening, please.
that's in the headline?
Yeah, that's the headline.
That's hilarious. Headline. Where was this? What publication?
I think it's from TechCrunch.
Good one.
Yeah, so it says, but basically it's like, and I don't know whether they did this or what the deal is, but it says that they're going to stick a button in there for people who have not used listened to a podcast in the app.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically says this week Spotify is introducing a new button to help kickstart the podcast habit. It's basically like the article's talking about how they have spent all this money, and it says 500 million spent on podcasting alone in 2019.
Yeah.
And they're just not having many people using the app to listen to podcasts.
Well, is this not something that I predicted?
Oh, it is. Oh, absolutely. 100%.
And the proof is in the pudding with the Megaphone purchase. And this is just my own analysis. So they have their streaming ad insertion technology, which works very well when you're listening to a podcast in the Spotify app. And, you know, they can really jam something in there with laser precision on the fly, you know, split second, market-based ad buy insertion. Mm-hmm. They can't do that outside of Spotify. They have, however, gotten the entire advertising industry all jacked up about how they are going to be the bomb diggity, and they can't deliver. And we saw the first signs of that when they put the Michelle Obama podcast outside of their hallowed halls and let everyone suck it up. And now they have Megaphone, which does dynamic ad insertion outside of Spotify, and they need it. They need it to be able to sell the ads. And they arrogantly thought, and this is beautiful because this is hasn't been analyzed yet. In fact, it's really something that Daniel J. Lewis would probably have some of the data on this. I don't think they can make it viable by just grabbing a slice of the podcast audience and the market share. And this is the power of apps. And oh, by the way, that's what they're coming for next. That's what they're coming for next. Oh, yeah, they're coming for the apps.
What do you mean? I mean, talk about
they're going to buy the apps. They're going to buy because the apps is where the audience actually is. They thought the audience was just with the podcaster.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Now, did they 10 million Joe Rogan listeners just grabbing a number? They convert 8 million. We still have 2 million. That's a lot of people who are here.
And a lot of people who are not there.
So you know, if I was Spotify, I'd be talking to Marco right now.
Well, I'm sure they have.
Yeah, I'd be talking to him, and I'd be saying, "We need to buy you," and I think he'll be the first to go. And
are you sure? I don't know. He's
these guys are desperate. The guys are desperate. They'll.
Oh, you think they'll throw 20 million at somebody?
A lot, yeah, a lot. For sure. Marco has the audience, and then he can incorporate the dynamic streaming stuff, and that's fine. I'm very happy. A lot of people will like it. I know that 10 years down the road, when it's become like AM radio, and you can't stand the commercial interruptions, Tina is already complaining bitterly to me. She's a Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. And you know, she's your typical user, although she knows a hell of a lot. I mean, she's walking around here, hey, how many sets? You know, she's walking around like she knows all this. She does, man. She knows what's going on. How many sets in a Bitcoin? Oh, yeah, I know this number. So she doesn't give herself enough credit for how technically evolved she is, but she doesn't have an ad blocker on her iPad. And, you know, I don't know if she's ever even thought about it. So she gets the ads.
I can't function without an ad blocker these days. It's awful.
Right. So she gets the ads, and you know, now it's before the YouTube video starts, it's 15-second one. You can't stop. You can't skip forward. Then there's at least two more. Then they have mid-rolls. They have oversold. They literally don't have the inventory. So they're just, and they're going to ruin it because they have to grow. They can't diminish. I mean, if they would stop deplatforming people, maybe they wouldn't have this problem. I'm not sure in the grand scheme of things how much it matters.
Yeah, I mean,
but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them to continue doing this. They're all, look, Google's already saying, oh, you know, that free photo thing. Yeah, you're going to have to pay for that.
I'm just a sad man. You're the media veteran. Does that tell you that? I'm not trying to say this. Christopher Isine. Let me get back and do this the other way. Christopher Isine in the Mastodon posted the other day like a list of all the Spotify purchases.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, 50 million for this, 100 million for this, 200 million for this. It's like, man, they're just on a spree.
Mm-hmm.
And have they gotten themselves into a situation where they're having, where they now have to spend money? Have they pyramided themselves to where they have to spend more money to buy the next thing in order to make the previous thing they spent too much money on pay off?
Yeah. Yes. So the answer is yes. Their business model is not a profit-making model. When you have to pay, regardless of your income, you have to pay the license holder for the content you are using a fee. It's almost a no-win situation because the fees are never going to go down. They're only going to go up, and these will be renegotiated. And the license holders, which is the ASCAP, BMI, the performing rights organizations, they're bringing it in and they're distributing it. But also, a lot of this is done in direct deals with record labels. So they have Spotify by the balls, essentially. And Spotify has to monetize that. Yeah, so they, you know, if someone's a monthly user and they're just banging that stuff on four machines at the same time, that's probably a revenue losing user. Most people on Spotify have it for free, and then they get ads, and that's, you know, that's also a business where the revenue keeps dropping year over year. There's just a lot of ads to be sold. There's a lot of inventory out there. So
yeah.
Podcasting is beautiful. Because they saw it in the typical corporate way. Here's all this stuff for free. So we shall take this stuff for free and offer it with a player to our subscribers. Mm-hmm. And we can sell ads, costs us nothing. If we don't have to sell ads, still costs us nothing. We have a revenue generator. Someone spent time on our site that cost us less. That is a win for them. So yeah. I think they arrogantly thought that they could convert the entire podcast universe to using Spotify to listen to. After all, they're number one in music. And it turns out, no. That's for the same reason people don't necessarily use the Apple podcasting app. They want other features, different suggestions, selections. There's a whole plethora of reasons. People who are in the podcast business and are in the business of delivering a great experience to you. That's the podcast app developers.
Yeah.
And to just jump in and think, oh, we can do this, where they've spent most of their time, focus, and resources on the streaming ad insertion side and the making advertisers happy side, they still have a curve.
Well, the thing about it is, I don't, maybe they think that they know something that Apple doesn't know, because Apple has been in this game for much longer than they have, and they have more of a lock on the podcast ecosystem than Spotify. And I don't know about if that's still applicable necessarily. I'd have to think about that for a while. But I mean, they're essentially have cloned a lot of what Apple's model was, where they have, like, you know, they're selling subscription music services, mm-hmm. and they now try to have a dominant position in podcasting and that kind of thing. You have to think that they should have looked at Apple and said, okay, well, Apple's had this podcast ecosystem and been a dominant player in it for many, many years, and they've never tried to monetize it.
Right.
Maybe that should tell us something. Maybe they know something we don't know, which is trying to monetize that is going to be extremely difficult.
Right. Well, Apple's core business model is having people pay for stuff. Mm-hmm. So they've never really gone the advertising route. They facilitated a lot of it.
Well, see, but they did it in news. Like you have Apple News Plus, which is a subscription service, mm-hmm. but they've never mentioned anything about a subscription podcast service.
That tells me
that they may see it as not a viable, like as not a winnable market.
And I agree. I think it's not a winnable market, having run a podcast network. It's too much hassle. Once you're responsible for people's experiences at that level with things that are beyond your control necessarily, or if you have a large stable of programming, it's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare to manage. You can't even call customer service at Apple.
Yeah.
It doesn't exist. Same with Google. And Amazon actually understands that, but I don't think they understand broadcasting and audiences in that way necessarily. For Apple, I think there's a couple directions they could go. One I thought of, which would be a very typical corporate response, you know, because the iTunes namespace is universally used for indexing in many ways, although I think we're kind of off of that, but it's still used by most. They could file one of those Silicon Valley lawsuits against Spotify and anyone else using this to make money. Because that they do have a patent on that. So, you know, because they had me in early, I consulted with them a little bit and they created that, and they were very kind. They put my name in the patent filings, and this is all prior art, and they only patented their own tags, and their own namespace. And I'm not exactly sure legally if it was a copyright. I think it's a patent, but I'm not sure exactly what the legality is. So they could go that way.
That is interesting.
Personally, seeing that they mainly want to sell hardware and closely integrated software, I would say an obvious way for them to go is to, selfishly, I'd say, support everything the other guys are doing, namely us. Blow it open wide. NPR is dying. They really want season tags and a couple other things that we've been solidifying that'll go into the namespace. Apple can support those and support, you know, use us as a buffer, you know, use us as a testing ground. I don't care. We'll figure out what works. And then when it works, then you accept it. And then all of a sudden everyone will be super happy.
And yeah, I mean, people will be happy. We break stuff all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Oh no, we'll break your app. Don't worry about it. Yeah, of course. Promises kept and delivered.
Yeah, we push code to the live side all the time. Cross our fingers.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah. But so that way, Apple is very dear to me. They have done this so well. They've been so kind and nice to the whole concept. Mm-hmm. That it would be great. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they're spending their money on. They may not have time to spend their money on this.
Well, it just seems like, and I still think they will do, you know, one of these days, maybe do a Podcast Plus thing, which that's the thing is that's fine. I mean, there's plenty of exclusive stuff on all kinds of platforms. That's not a problem. The problem I have is not with anybody doing exclusive stuff. It's people trying, and this seems to be what Spotify is trying to do, is people trying to come in and control the market, the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, but they're going about it the wrong way. This is their fundamental mistake, is that they think that that having one piece of content that brings everybody else in. That's just been proven not to be true.
Nobody cares.
No, I mean, you're right. There's too much choice. There's way too much choice.
I'll tell you exactly why nobody cares. And this is this is an example from my life, and I think it applies to almost everybody. Okay, I already have way too many podcast subscriptions in my podcast app.
Yeah,
I can't listen to them all on a weekly basis. I cannot listen to, you know, 6 hours of No Agenda, 3 hours of Accidental Tech, another hour and a half of The Incomparable. I mean, I could just go on and on and on. I mean, I've got on a weekly basis, I've got 30 hours of programming that's sitting on my podcast player waiting for me to listen to, and I can't do it all. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got a 15-minute commute to work. There's no way I could listen to all that. Yeah. So if you drop a new exclusive that's who even knows? If you drop some new person that's an exclusive on your platform, I just can't. I don't care because I've already got too much stuff I can't even listen to already. Also,
it's not for Apple, I'm saying, having run one, it's not worth the headache. You don't want to have meetings with the talent. You don't want to hear their gripes. You don't want to. And conversely, no one wants the podcast to be happy. Oh, okay, so they bought my show or whatever, and you got some money. But it's not really going to make you. I don't think it makes anybody happy. Apple wants their users to be happy. They want people to have great experiences.
Yeah.
And they they started off the right way for them by highlighting NPR, a lot of public radio podcasts, classy, high-end production. I think that's kind of the brand that the Apple Podcast app got.
It's a good marriage, yeah.
And they can continue that, but don't let your supply dry up because you don't have the outlets. People want certain features. I'm not saying you got to put the lightning nodes into your app, but I wouldn't reject it.
That'd be great. Yeah.
But just so, if possible, I think that would be a smart business move to keep up with the trends and not, because these trends right now are being, or were until we came along, with the hold my beer strategy. Innovation was being dictated for 7 years by, Apple won't do it. And now for 10 years, Apple and Spotify won't do it. Don't let those douchebags dictate what you do, Apple.
Yeah.
Look, it's the developers on the outside, brothers. they're the ones pushing your buttons. Listen to them.
Go, did you get that clip I sent?
Yes, I did.
Play that.
Global Future Councils at the Forum convene on a number of topics from clean air to cryptocurrency, and they draw from a wide network of thought leaders from academia, government, business, and civil society. The United States Global Future Council is a group of foreign policy experts who have met throughout the past year to discuss the principles that might guide foreign policy over the next decade. I caught up with a few to learn how U.S. foreign policy could shape the global recovery. And in this podcast, a few of their members give us a sampling of recommendations for how the U.S. can deploy both its thought leadership and its resources for the global good. Their thoughts go beyond the politics of the recent years, looking from a 50,000-foot view at what major principles will drive decision-making in the years ahead.
We have great opportunities if we're able to get away from TikTok, Twitter, our own front yard, and focus a little bit on people who actually have needs. That's what the international community is about serving.
Subscribe to The Great Reset on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And please take a moment to rate and review us. I'm Linda Lacina from the World Economic Forum, and this is The Great Reset.
Yes, I subscribe to this podcast, as you know.
This is your favorite podcast.
It is top of the list. They're short. They're half hour. They're totally globalist. Everyone speaks pretty well. You can chop it up, make clips, and laugh at these fuckers. It's a great podcast.
It ticks every box of yours.
It sure does.
excuse me, the Rona. But there's a couple of things in this clip that I liked, which was the last one first is they said, be sure and follow us on Apple and Spotify.
Yes.
Now you go back 5 years ago, it was only Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody says Apple and Spotify, and sometimes they just say Spotify.
Oh, really? Oh my!
If you go to the to the Great Reset website, which interestingly is hosted by Libsyn. if you go to the Great Reset site, it's a podcast site. It says, like, up at the top, you have it's like email. You got three links. You got email us, RSS feed, and Spotify.
Wow,
those are your three listen on Spotify. There's no Apple. There's nothing up there except Spotify. They're the only private silo company up there. Mm. And so, and let me say that I said silo. Apple's not really a silo. They're not locking anything in. So, but they're the only private company up there.
You're right. Spotify. You're right. It's email. It has the raw feed, and then Spotify.
Yeah. I wonder why now. I wonder why that is. I mean, I'm not going to say there's, you know, anything in this context conspiracy wise. I think that just may be a default or something like that. But I think that it's very curious that to me that Spotify, I guess just through all the money they've spent, they have put themselves in this position as to be this monster in the podcasting space, but it's obvious that they're still struggling here.
Yes. And so I know that Spotify is a media company, so they have marketed themselves. They've spent significant money on chiclet campaigns and buttons and banners and all kinds of stuff. They do a lot of outreach, and they have the budget for it because, you know, they raise a lot of money in their IPO, and, you know, they have cash. But the writing is on the wall. I've been looking at some analysts and seeing if anyone can see what to me is clear as day is they are going to have a longer path converting their existing music users to adding podcasts to their life or moving away from wherever they use their podcasts. Because even that, even though we've had these portability ways to export your subscriptions into a different podcast app, it's not that easy. You know, I think there's a little bit of arrogance at play here. They did it all right. You know, they got the big consulting firm? McKenzie?
I don't know.
Yeah, they got McKenzie to do the big report, which showed that this was a genius idea, and this is the way to go. You know, they did all the corporate stuff right. They said it's going to cost a lot of money. They made the acquisitions they promised. I'm not sure Megaphone, because they were dancing around Megaphone for a while. I think that was, to me, that was the move that showed, oh, yeah, we can't quite deliver it yet. We don't have the audience, so we might as well buy this piece. And as I said earlier, I'm quite confident they will look at acquiring some apps, thinking that that's the audience, and that may very well be so. That may be the way it goes, too. But I think you and I will always be on the outside.
Yeah, that's what...
Pretty sure.
Comic Street Blogger on the Mastodon was like, what if Spotify buys Podcast Index? And you said, what if Podcast Index buys Spotify?
Exactly.
I was like, yes,
I think I should go through their office and start putting some post-it notes on some of the gear there with my initials on it. That's the right attitude. Well, while you're coughing the lung out, Dave, maybe now is the time to thank people who have been supporting the entire project to date before SAT started streaming and flowing. This is the value for value model. This goes into Podcast LLC. It supports all of the index 100%. We weren't able to thank anyone on the last show since we had Tom and Kevin on from Buzzsprout. Have you heard from those guys recently? Did we scare the shit out of them and they don't want to talk to us anymore? It's been very quiet. What happened?
I hope they're just busy, because we were like, hey, this is a great talk. Let's talk about lightning. Yeah. They're just like, oh, crap. Okay, what?
And,
what is this?
And I would like to say that with all of the lightning talk, looks like thanks to you, and of course thanks to help from Martin, my feeds are getting all sorted out, and and this show will be published with chapters and a transcript, which I'd like in the caption format. And even with Peter from What Bitcoin Did, he is so excited about all these features. He's saying, you know, I can't wait, you know, for the streaming, for the streaming sats. Said, but chapters, seasons, he said, oh, this is exactly the stuff I've been waiting for. And, you know, so as we drive forward, you know, we're still doing this in order, you know, and even I'm getting into it now, and I'm very excited to start, you know, getting people to help contribute to my chapters, and maybe doing some integration with noagendashow.net, which already has this kind of this functionality. So these things are super important, and this will drive a lot more value to app developers just by, I mean, gosh, this Podverse, I hadn't really played with that much. Man, that's pretty damn complete.
Oh, it's a great app, isn't it? Yeah, it's really great.
And Podbay, is that also tied into the index, or are they not tied into the index?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
It's another fantastic web app.
The web apps are really
bonkers.
Yeah, they like if by us providing the cores access so that web apps function properly with the API, that really helped a lot of people. I mean, because that I don't know how many other APIs there are anyway, but I don't think there's much out there. There's not any that's free besides us.
Right.
But the other thing, you know, just not being able to query it from a web app is a killer. I mean, that's break. You can't function that way. So we actually fixed a course problem yesterday.
Oh, cool.
If anybody was having problems with the course headers not being returned when there's a non-200 error message, that should be.
Oh, I hate it when that happens, especially on a non-200 error. Damn, fuckers!
That messes you up every time. Okay, let's see here.
So we've received donations. Some of them are recurring at this point, which keep our machines going, which is highly appreciated. And we have a nice buffer to keep moving forward. The work does not stop. And look at all you get. You get a Mastodon server. By the way, if you already are on a Mastodon server, you can just follow us. You don't have to join. It can be at Adam at podcastindex.social and at Dave at podcastindex.social. And we're federated, so you get all the other toots and bongs and everything.
And the full cast of characters at podcastindex.social.
Yes, and of course, noagendasocial.com flows into that from time to time, which confuses me. I'm like, what are these guys doing on my timeline? Oh, yeah, it's federated. Now I get it. That
throws me off every
it's
time.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's like, oh, yeah, of course. And well, because I'll reply on No Agenda, and it'll show up in my podcast index timeline. I'm like, how did that happen? What site am I on? Like, holy crap. Yeah.
You thought Sphinx chat was confusing.
Oh, try my God. But you get that. You get the podcast. You get the innovation. You get the love. And we're trying to put as much value out there as possible. So who do we have to thank, Dave?
We got Charles Current, who, let's see, he gave us $5. PayPal refused my automatic payment this month, so I'm sending it manually. Thanks for all your hard work.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Oh, man.
That is something to say is PayPal's bad to cancel automatic subscriptions.
Oh, my God. And they'll say it was the show's fault.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah. And so if you have an automatic subscription, if you don't mind checking it from time to time, just make sure it still works. Yeah. Like we've got a few automatic guys, and I want to make sure Jeremy New, Cameron Rose, Mitch Downey, Cold Acid, Keith Gibson, David Norman, Derek Visker, Soren Mueller, and Martin, and we've got a few anonymous. Thank you guys. I want to make sure, just because y'all are on automatic subscriptions, I want to make sure I don't miss thanking you guys from time to time.
Yes, thank really you. And thank it. You. Thank you for keeping individual machines up and running.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's see, Scott Jalber. He says, They said the red button works. I did not see a place to enter a note on PayPal though. This is important work, and I love hearing what you all are doing with this project on the podcast. I wish I had some talent to donate, but I'm a mere user, so I'm going to hang out on Mastodon and see what's going on.
Oh, cool.
I'd love to support a server if this level supports it. Thanks, guys. And he says, Scott Jauber, the T is silent. So I did that successfully. So yeah, nice. Yeah, Scott, you got our object storage bill.
Nice. So oh,
yeah. You don't get a server. You get the object storage. So that's where all the backups are. That's critical functionality.
Hilarious.
One of these days when something goes down, you're going to pay for it to come back to life. Benjamin Bellamy. Oh yeah. From Castapod.
Yes.
Love Benjamin. $45.70. That's a cool number too. It says love.
That's a great number. Yeah.
Love from C4570POD, aka Castapod.
Oh,
so he does some leak speed. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Castapod.
You guys are saving podcasting, Benjamin.
we're working on it, brother. We're working on it.
Go podcast. Let's see. Paul Love. He sent us $50. Love this concept. Looking forward to getting more involved, Sir Daddy Cast from Daddy Cast Rewind Podcast. Ah,
he's been around for a long time. Nice to hear from him.
Daddy Cast. I'm like, yeah,
the Daddy Cast. Exactly.
All right. Now, there's some naming challenges this week because lots of international donors, and it's going to struggle here. Daniel Vasicek sent us $5. Thank you, Daniel. Let's see. Oh, we got an automatic $1 a month donation from Mark Graham. Now it's like, $1 a month. No, all of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And hey, man, you assign the value that for you is valuable. So
100%.
Take that as 100% valuable. Thank you.
Yeah, nothing is scoffed at. Everything is appreciated. Thank you so much.
As we say in the old country, wie het kleine niet eert, is het grote niet waard.
Yeah, I got that.
He who does not honor the small is not worthy of the large.
I like it.
Yeah.
But that's you bring the old world.
I try.
Okay, now this is a good one. Yeldar Kadaberg Yeldar Kudaberganov.
I think that's something Joe Biden said the other day. Sorry.
Kafefi.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so he sent us $10.
Oh, says, nice.
Hi, Adam and Dave. My name is Yeldar Kudaberg. Oh, I can't.
You want to spell it? It's. I might be able to give it a shot.
Kudaibergenov.
Kudaiberg. N-O-V? Kudaibergenhof. I'd have to see it. Where's he from?
Kazakhstan.
Oh, that would be the reason why neither of us can decode it. Okay. Well, it's okay because he probably knows Hunter Biden from his Kazakhstan travels.
Yeah. He's on the board of something. He's on the board of the podcast hosting company. Hi, Adam and Dave. My name is Yeldar Kudaibergenov. I am a podcaster from Kazakhstan. Very nice country.
Cool.
At the moment, there are only about 100 podcasts in Kazakhstan, and your project helps me to properly develop podcasting in my country. Thank you for really developing podcasting. I enjoy listening to Podcasting 2.0 every week.
That's great. And I want to make sure that we get him lightning enabled as soon as possible. There's a society that hasn't been exposed to much yet in this realm, clearly in the podcasting realm. I'll bet you they know a crap load about Bitcoin, though. So
yeah,
that could be very interesting.
And you can do something else for me, Yeldar. You said that there are, you said in your note, at the moment, there are about 100 podcasts in Kazakhstan. If you know what those are, can you put them in a list and send them to me just so we make sure that we have them all?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, and I want to thank, my gosh, I forget who all those people are, air quotes, who have been just delivering pile after pile after pile of podcasts that aren't listed anywhere, that don't exist. They just in the ether, man. But there's some crazy ass stuff that people show up with. It's really cool.
Yeah, somebody sent us a list of 5,000 Polish podcasts the other day.
Right. I mean, and how many were dupes in the database?
Have you run it? I don't even know. It's only about a third of the way done.
Oh my!
Like when somebody gives us a whole ton of stuff, I have to like trickle them out slow.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, it takes forever to like catch up.
Right.
Because I don't have the slick aggregator chops that like Mike Kelly does. So I just want to say this about Mike Kelly. He's like a database freaking wizard, and I have like half of who he is. So I really appreciate him jumping in there and helping and stuff.
He's got a new name now. He's now Machine Gun Mike Kelly.
Machine Gun Mike.
Everybody, yes. Machine Gun Mike Kelly here on the index.
He's offered to help in a couple of different ways. He's the guy doing podcastimages.com.
Yeah, how's that coming along?
I have no idea. I think he's been tied up with some stuff too, but he's offered to help in 100 ways. And, right about the time that I got hit with the Rona. So I plan on catching back up with him because he's been involved since day one. He's
great. Well, it'd be great if we can get the images server set.
Yeah. I think he's going to roll back around to that at some point. I got to call him on the phone. I need to call him on the phone.
Oh my God. How 1980s of you.
I know. I'm gonna dial a rotary dial. Greg Thomas dialed in a $5 a month subscription.
Thank you, Dave. Greg, sorry.
Did you see that segue I did?
Yes, it was very slick.
No, thank you.
No, you're a natural born podcaster. I've recognized this.
I'm a pro.
Yeah, you have all the chops, baby. You grew up around country radio, I can tell.
Country radio? WZZK, Birmingham.
Let's see, you got it.
Greg Thomas gave us $5 a month. Thank you, Greg. And that is good for the beta search server that I'm doing right now.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, and we need to support Asian characters. So
we need a separate server for that?
Yeah, it's like a whole different set of Unicode ranges that evidently is not supported out of the box by default with our search server. So, it's going to be a little tricky to get it
working. Wow, that is interesting. All the little things you don't think about.
It is. It's a ton of stuff. Like, if you search in Japanese right now, you get nothing.
Well, that's no good.
Yeah, we got to fix that. Dobroslav Slavinsko. Slavinsko, I told you it's going to be a train wreck. Dobroslav Slavinsko gave us $5.
Thank you. Yes, thank you very much. I think I recognize the name.
Oh, do you? Okay. Then maybe I know an NA guy or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Okay, this is a good one. I like Leanne Mancini. Leanne gave us $100.
Okay, is this our first female donation? Can we be a little misogynistic here?
No, it is not our first. Okay. No, this is the second female donation.
Because this sausage fest over at Podcast Index has got to stop, people.
Is not acceptable.
We could seriously use some female energy. I'm not kidding about that. It would be helpful.
Leanne Mancini gave us $100.
Wow. And
she said that she heard about the Podcast Index from Todd at Blueberry.
Oh, cool.
During the Spark Christian Podcast Conference.
Oh, nice.
Evidently, he mentioned the project and said, what she said is he asked people to donate money if they could.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
That is great. Well, and it paid off. Thank you very much. Leanne, thank you for supporting us and the future of podcasting.
You know, I think there's... yeah, thanks, Leanne. And I think there's really some synergy there because I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. the winds of censorship and freedom, anti-free speech, that stuff changes all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's a slow pendulum, but it does move. And I think there's a lot of concern amongst religious circles now about censorship, whereas it used to be, you go back 25 years, it was the exact opposite.
Well, yes. And again, the corona lockdowns prove that all kinds of things can take place that may not even be constitutional. Mm-hmm. So, and that is, that right to practice your religion is in fact in the same amendment about the freedom of speech. So yeah. It's so they're buttressing up against that. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Christianity in general is still persecuted so many countries worldwide. And dare I say, the Pope is even acting weird.
The Pope is acting weird, Adam.
Yeah. That's right. That's a marquee for you.
Yeah.
Wait, that'll be the clip. I'll make that as the soundbite for the show.
Soundbite.
Yeah. The Pope is acting weird.
Donald Winkler gave us $10. I could not find a note from Donald. Thank you. So thank you. Appreciate it, Donald. Justin Zetzer gave us $25 donation. Thank you, Justin. I could not find a note from him either. Ray Jacobson gave us $33.33.
Well, we know where he's coming from. Thank you very much, Ray. It's appreciated. Yeah,
he says, in the morning from Sir Ray.
Yes, in the morning to you, sir. Magic numbers, always appreciated.
And I mean, like, the magic numbers are in overdrive with the lightning stuff. I mean, like, that is just off the chart.
Isn't that interesting?
You know, everybody wants their, you know, everybody's got their certain magic number of sats that you
Boosting, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I can even see streaming a certain number of sats as well, just to identify myself. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of stuff you can put in that, but I kind of like it. It's fun to see what, you know, I'm looking at the index side of it, but even on, in the Sphinx app, you just see, oh, okay, click, and you can just see who's listening, and it's very exciting. There's something so exciting about seeing that value flow. It doesn't matter how big or little it is. It's completely irrelevant. It could be, you know, jelly beans.
I love the I love the shaming that goes into people who don't.
Yeah,
what a
weak boost.
Somebody comes in and boosts like 20 sats. Everybody's like, whoa, get that out of here. You suck. Get that.
But also, man, it's a very interesting dynamic. Sorry to come back to this, but Tales from the Crypt has a 500 sat join fee.
It's like 10 grand. It's like 10,000.
Oh, is it 10,000? I literally sat there like, well, I don't know, man. I don't know. Seriously. I'm like, that's a buck. I'm like, oh. And I'm in this. I'm like, of course I want to be in there. And I see message is like 150 sats. I'm like, well, I'm not going to send that many messages. And we're talking about fractions of a penny. It's an interesting dynamic that goes on in your head.
I saw that. I saw the 10,000 entry fee on the tribe, and I was like, okay, well, let me check my balance. And so I only have 27,000 sats in here. That's like half of what I got.
But as Paul said, which I told him I'd steal, free is so expensive. That's what we've learned, you know, the free stuff, Silicon Valley, that what has been taken away from, what we've willingly given up is so expensive, you know, compared to a 10,000 sat join fee.
Yeah.
It's really, you just, if you think about it, your life will be richer overnight by stepping off of those platforms and onto something like this.
And the FOMO of not being in the Tales from the Crypt tribe got me. I was like, of course
you got to be in there. Yeah.
Yeah. You got the icon, the creepy icon.
But I actually find myself like someone does it, like a paid graph to look at. I'm like, 50 sats? No. No, I'm not that interested. okay, the only thing, the chat should just hide it, though. It shouldn't have that big box enticing me. It should just say message, you know, whatever. And now they got that big box looking at me.
No, Paul knows what he's doing. He's sucking you in. David Langford gave us 1, 2, 3, 4, $12.34.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, and he said that the reason, let's see, do I have a note? Okay. Well, no, he said that the reason that he donated was because he heard us talking about the Jell-O and green Jell-O and carrots. He's like, I'm that guy.
Yeah, okay. We always have one or two.
Okay, this is a donation from Boomstat Media, and I couldn't find a name, so I'm just going to credit that way. But he or she says, when Sermon Audio has the same episode on multiple feeds, it's a way of organizing content. If a listener is grieving, they may want to subscribe to an RSS feed on the topic of grief with various pastors on the feed. Other listeners may only want to subscribe to their own pastor. This isn't spam, but there may be better ways to solve this within the index. Keep up the great work. You guys need to buy podcastindex.com before the price goes up or before Spotify buys it just to spite you.
Well, someone clearly already has that.
I don't care that
much. So what I would just say to that in response is not necessarily a function of the index. I mean, it would be very easy to, and I say that in my non-developer voice, to create a web player that focuses only on a certain category or is curated. All of this can now be done. It doesn't have to be that you get everything in this app. I mean,
especially now with PWAs.
Yes, and I'm kind of waiting for my grandmother's podcast player. I actually have Martin kind of pegged as the guy who would pick that up. When remote controls came out for televisions, and it's still that way today, the more advanced ones, I think Sony was the first, you could flip it over and had what we called the granny interface. And the big-ass buttons, you know, you can get the phone now.
The jitterbug.
Yeah, the jitterbug, exactly. You can get that phone with the huge buttons.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, there's a whole market of people who are 60-plus, 65-plus, gosh, I'm so close to that.
I was about to say.
But the reason I say it is because there's a generation that didn't quite grow up with the same technology curve. And so they're a little behind, a little intimidated. And I think that's what I like. Because you know, I look at Podverse, I'm like, holy crap, this has got all the dials and buttons and widget and bells and whistles. And look at Podfriend, and it's smiling at me. Oh, it's helping me find my stuff. So, you know, there's another version out there for the seniors app. I'm sorry to put it that way, but that's the truth. It's a market. It's a huge market. And, you know, and then put senior stuff in there.
Hello. Don't give your grandma Quanta. Have you seen that thing?
Yes.
With Clay, from Clay.
Oh, I mean, my goodness.
Clay said he doesn't even know how it works.
it's like a Wikipedia had sex with a podcast player and out came JSON goo. I'm not quite sure what it is. It's crazy. It's got everything jacked in it. It's
like I don't know what that thing does.
It's like the Wolfram Alpha. You know, you got like, I don't know, these filters and things, it flows. Yeah. It's very interesting. That's
what used to happen when somebody is like, hey, I want to use Freedom Controller. And it's like, what exactly does it do? And I'm like,
yeah, you know, all this.
I'm like, nah, just don't worry about it.
That's a good point. That's probably the same experience people had coming in to view Freedom Controller. Like, what does this do?
I'm like, you know, if I have to explain it to you, then just don't worry about it.
Forget about it.
Don't bother. No. Okay, last, you got to help me here. He actually sent
a pronunciation guide.
Let's see here. This is Alvaro Munch. I can't.
Can you spell it?
I can't figure this out. The archive. Here's see. He says, let me see if I can spell it phonetically. It is Munoz short Z. What is a short Z?
Munoz. Munoz instead of Munoz. I don't know.
Iquins. AI as in AI letters. Or AI and then Qins as in Q with a long S. Man, I got no idea. It doesn't help. AIQ. Aquins.
What's his public key? Just use that. That's easier. I might recognize him by his public key.
We got a donation from 03274. Oh, thank you, Alvaro. And I'm so sorry that I butchered your name. I told him in the email. I was like, I'm going to butcher this.
Well, you set yourself up for that, brother. Okay, I'm going to have to get involved with these names pretty soon.
Yeah, I know. I'm wrecking it. Okay. You're the language guy.
I know. I don't have it in front of me. We'll do better. We'll be better.
Really excited. He says, really excited about the vibe going across the free podcast world to improve and protect podcasting for us all. So here is some treasure for the index.
Mm.
On a side note, I have to point out that the weekly PC20 is like a scrum of scrums in the agile world, but in a podcast form. The index is innovating on so many fronts. Do you understand what scrum of scrums is?
Well, the scrum is, if I understand, scrum is like a technology department thing. And then the boss will come in and he say, okay, we're going to do a scrum. And first we do a stand-up meeting and then we go off and make something happen real quick. And we come back and we talk about it, something like that.
I think so too. Yeah. Isn't it like a sprint or something? Like,
yeah.
Where they try to
agile development.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what we are. Yeah, we're all about agile.
We're all about being agile.
Yeah, we have no idea what we're doing half the time, but we're agile. We're agile with it.
We are the antithesis of Silicon Valley programming and development.
He is right, though, because we're tackling a lot of stuff here.
Well, we rarely talk.
We do. This is a once a week board meeting.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
He gave us $40. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Yeah. That's it. That's what we got.
Nice. The value for value system, very simple. The value is right there on the index. We are providing all of this to move podcasting forward, to preserve it as a platform for free speech. And we're in the process of retooling it as a platform of value. All of this taking place before your very eyes. You can join in. Go to podcastindex.org. If you'd like to support us, we accept time, talent, and treasure, the three T's. And treasure is always appreciated. You'll see the big red donate button on that. And if you want to sign up as a developer, there's a menu button, and you can also, anyone can join the podcast index.social, or if you're already on Mastodon, you can just follow Dave or I over there. And thank you very much for supporting podcasting 2.0.
Yeah, this, there's no jingle. It's like podcastindex.org/blah blah. And it's like this. I keep my brain wants there to be something.
Yeah, like something to just shorten. Well, now that you said it, you never know. Stuff does come rolling in strangely like that.
Yeah, I'm glad that NPR is getting involved in the namespace because.
Yeah, I saw that. What's her name? Who showed up?
Stacy.
Stacy, is that her name? Yeah.
Yeah, Stacy Goers. She popped in and said that they've been needing some stuff for a while. And so I'm glad to see some of that because we know there's need out there amongst a lot of players. And we just want to make sure that there's voices there because those are important. I mean, ultimately the namespace, is going to encompass lots of things. And so at this beginning phase, which will end on the 15th, which is what is that? 2 days from now.
Yeah.
We've already got lots of stuff wrapped up. I mean, there's phase one is pretty much.
You want to just run down phase one quickly so we know what's in there? Then this will be locked in and deployable, right? That's the idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
But let's see. Let me get over there to the GitHub. But the whole, I'll do that first and then we'll talk about that other part. But what we've got so far is, the lock tag, podcast locked.
Yeah.
We've got transcript, funding, chapters, person, and soundbite.
And person, is that, equals guest equals host, or is it that, did that not make it in that way?
Yeah, no, it is. We're going to have, that'll be the only tag that we're going to have to talk about because, we may end up having to punt that to phase two. Because yeah, there's just still talk going on and things don't need to be finalized if they're still being talked about.
Right,
so,
right.
We may end up punting that to phase two. We'll just have to see how that rolls out after the 15th. So what'll happen is on the 15th, we'll just say, okay, phase one is closed, and here's the ones that are finalized, which at this point is everything but person.
Right.
And then all those will be good to go. And then we'll talk about person and say, well, yes, no, maybe, blah, blah, blah. And we'll punt that if we need to. And then we'll start with phase two, and we'll set a closing date for it, and we'll just work towards that.
So I have a request. What we need is a page on Podcast Index, which lists that. I know we have something on the GitHub, mm-hmm. which could flow from that potentially, but we need a list of who's of what you can get for what. So what apps, what hosting companies, etc., who is supporting what. We're just going to need it. And especially for the apps, you know, because now we don't really have a full list of all the apps and the features they support. That's something that someone, if you want to donate one of the first two T's, time, talent, treasure, that would be fantastic. If someone can maintain that, maintain a page, maintain which features, work on each one, links, all that beautiful stuff. Same goes for hosting companies. I'm very impressed with the work Buzzsprout has done.
Yes.
That I've seen on their chapters and their transcripts. And I've given them some feedback, and I understand a little bit better now how their process works. And so those guys are fast. They're just going to keep innovating. Castapod, I think, supports everything at this point. Mm-hmm. I don't know about other hosting facilities. A lot of them have implemented the lock tag. That's good.
Yeah, Blueberry is, they said that they just don't have a ton of development time to spare. So they're prioritizing stuff right now. I think they're just going to hit them as soon as they can, as they go down right. the list.
Okay. And then that's understood and
yeah.
comprehended.
For anybody who wants to add a page for the supported stuff, there's two, and I'm going to make this a call out as well, because I want people to submit themselves to the GitHub. If you look in the docs folder of the GitHub, there's an element support file there, and anybody can do a pull request. Just add your app to it, or an app that you know that functions to it.
Right.
And there's it's a list of each of the tags and which apps support it. So please add yourself or somebody or some other app there that you know of. You can add hosts there, app, anybody that supports a tag at any layer of the chain. Put them in there. And also the other part is the contributors. There's a contributors.txt file on the GitHub as well. If you've even had one comment on podcastindex.social or on the GitHub at all, add yourself to the contributors file, because right. everybody who has had comments and has spoken up about anything, you are a contributor. Stick yourself in the file so that you get, you know, recognized as such, because that's important. So anybody who wants to make like a page for the site or something like that to keep up with this stuff,
okay,
all of it's listed there. Yeah, it's all listed there. So you won't have to go digging for stuff. It's just right there. But the, you know, one thing about the namespace is that there's, I think we've touched on this before. There's the idea that eventually this is meant to be a self-contained namespace. So, and what I mean by that is the goal here is to have a podcast, quote unquote, namespace with everything that's needed for podcast hosting. And that means that there is going to come a point where we're going to start duplicating tags that may be in other namespaces.
Right.
What Stacy from VR was mentioning the other day is a perfect example of this. She's talking about the season tag. What they want is the ability to have non-numeric seasons, so that you just don't say season one, season two, season three.
Right. Right.
So that you can have a season that's called 2020 election.
Right.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of these things that are going to be sort of like expansions to existing tags within, let's say, the iTunes namespace or something like that,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be a natural, it's going to be a duplication. So they're not what we started off with in phase one is the idea of trying to address needs that weren't met, that pent up demand, things like transcripts, things mm-hmm. like captions and chapters and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that are like, they add new functionality. And those are things that have, that it felt right to put in from the beginning because people have wanted them for a long time. And they also, so it serves another purpose, which is making the open podcast ecosystem, putting it on a level playing field, or even going beyond what the silo people can do with their functionality.
I like that. The silo people.
The silo. It sounds like a horror movie from the
50s. Yes, yeah, it kind of is.
And so once we get some of that stuff taken care of, and we really need to try to get this person tag done, because I think that's important. I think everybody wants it. We just got to nail that thing down. So as far, and then location is another one that's coming up in phase two.
Now the value block will be in phase two, I presume?
It's in there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know how much talk there's going to be about it, because a lot of people probably won't really even understand enough about it to mm-hmm. know how to comment on it.
Mm-hmm. It's not much to comment, really.
It just does what it does. Yeah.
Pretty straightforward. I have two things.
Sure.
One for chapters. Anybody implementing chapters, I'd like to stress how I love the idea of image URLs. Because I'm starting to use this as a slideshow feature in my shows. I really like that I can, you know, you hear someone talking about something and up pops a picture with an optional link to tap through to whatever that website is. So I see that now as the inverse of why I really dislike that is people tapping into chapters to skip ahead. Now it's something that may not even have a link. You know, it's just, it's an image that goes along with the content. It's a little different use case from how most people display chapters. So especially for the app developers, I think there's a lot of opportunity there. And I think it's very fun. Did you say
opportunity? I like that.
Did I say that?
You almost did. I like the opportunity.
Opportunity. It's kind of like a douchebag Silicon Valley thing, though, if I said it that way. Like, where's that guy from? Hey, I'll try it at I'll try it at Ryan's Bitcoin meetup. Here's an opportunity, everybody. It's got a great opportunity for the Bitcoin community.
Can you take sats back when somebody says something like that?
Okay, so chapters and captions, transcripts. My process and is here's what I'd like, and here's what I'm doing, and here's what parts are working and aren't working. I publish my RSS feed. My file is up. It takes, depending on which show, but it takes a little bit of time to finish the transcript. So, but I want to get my show out. That's just my process. So I publish everything, and I put in dummy values or no values for chapters and transcript. And then once the transcript is done, then I add that to the feed and I republish. I change the pub time or pub date on the episode and then just pray that it works. And I hit the web pub sub thing, whatever. I ping that and I saw that after the fact, the captions were picked up by Podfriend, which I consider if Podfriend picks it up, then we're in good shape. Chapters is very interesting problem, because I kind of, in every tool that's available except for before I publish it, the show has to be online in order to create the chapters. So chicken and the egg. So if I were to use the Podfriend tool or just do it manually or use it internally with Buzzsprout after publishing, it doesn't get picked up everywhere. And I don't know exactly what to do to trigger it or let people who've already accessed the file when published without the updates to the URLs. Is that possible that I can say, you know, hey, take another look because now the chapters are working or the chapter file is there. It's just, It's frustrating because I don't know how to make it happen.
So are you saying that I posted this morning that the chapter's URL was thrown a 404?
Yeah, it was.
And that's you published it before the chapter's file was there in order to avoid that problem. Is that right? Like if you publish the podcast. Yeah,
the files were empty. The files were there, but the files were empty.
Okay, and that's to just make sure that the aggregator is aware
that it has the URL. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what that was my simpleton thinking.
That's good. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
But so how exactly is the handoff to PodFriend for chapters? We hand off the URL or the actual JSON?
The URL.
Okay. So for somehow I just have to let all these, this is always the problem. How do I let the apps know that I've changed something significant in the item in my feed that you want to grab that without triggering a download of the enclosure? Because we all know how to do that.
There's no universal way to do it that I know of. Like, for instance...
Well, this is a horrible chicken and the egg.
It is, yeah. Well,
but but even if it's a 404, will the app pick up those URLs, even if it throws a 404, will that still be in the database? What gets sucked
up? I'm sure they would. Yeah, I'm sure they would. We would pick it up because I don't check that it's a valid URL before. I just store it in the database.
Okay.
I think that may be a good way to do it, because then probably what the app would do is it's going to download the JSON at when it gets ready to show it. And if it just gets right. a 404, it just won't show anything.
Well, so here comes a fun issue. Mm-hmm. So in order to, so if I use HyperCatcher, which I like because HyperCatcher, because HyperCatcher allows for the community to use the app and add chapters, and they have, and there's an API that spits out a JSON endpoint, mm-hmm. but you can't create that JSON endpoint until the file is published. But now that I'm looking at it, I'm looking at the URL. I think I can anticipate what the next episode URL will be, since I have a pretty strict naming convention.
Now, are you referencing that URL? Or are you
I'm referencing that URL. Yeah.
That seems scary, because you may end up destroying David's web service with all that traffic.
Let's rewind the show an hour. That's what I do, brother.
Okay.
Some people get up in the morning and make hit records. I get up and I break your fucking code. I bring down your website. Server. I bring your servers down. Hey, he's providing this as a feature, a service to me.
Here's 850,000 downloads.
What's your problem?
In 20 seconds. Here you go. Good luck.
He's about to witness that. So buckle down.
Have fun, David. I mean, like, I don't know any other way to do it, and I think that probably should be
the best way to do it, huh?
Yeah, and I think that should be in the thing.
You know, the thing.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. That should be in the docs for the namespace. Is like, okay, if the thing is there, then just. But it's given a 404 or whatever, there should be some instruction about, like, hey, for apps, you know, expect that this may not, you know, show up, and then right. you just fall back to non-chapter functionality if that's the case. Right. I'll write that up in the docs just to make sure that it's clear that, because I think that some of these things, it's like an image. It's like a podcast image, and you can reference an image, and it may not show it. It may be a 404, but if you fix it later,
it should show up.
It should show up, yeah. I mean, because the aggregator can't check all that stuff. I mean, oh my God, that would slow everything down.
Right. Okay, you've answered most of my question. Thank you. I think it's important to add that in there, because not everyone laboriously puts in chapters and works on it for hours and post-processing and then publishes. I'm a snappy go And I make lots of mistakes, which is why I like having community-based tools.
Yeah.
You go ahead. You make the mistakes. I'll catch them when I've had a coffee.
Has anybody done any community chapters for you yet?
They have. I tweeted out twice, and a couple people came in, did some chapters. But we didn't really have an app to show them in yet. That's when I started breaking David's code left and right. So, you know, just slowed it down a little bit. Then the Sphinx guy showed up. So now I'm kind of circling back around, and I want to be a big publisher using these features, and I intend to do so.
You're intending to turn the Node agenda feed into the testbed feed into the sandbox feed for these new tags, just because you've got the audience to push it.
Starting Sunday, with Sunday's show, I'm gonna promote. I'll talk to David because I'd like to tell everybody to use Hypercatcher. I want them to be aware.
Yeah,
and let's see what happens. So that they can make some community features, community chapters, and then they should just, I mean, I have to approve them, but I don't mind checking. And he set up a notification system, which is very cool.
Oh, that's so neat. With the email and stuff?
Yeah, so that, you know, if something is changed, then you know, oh, wait a minute, because I now have three shows on there, and so I don't have to check into every single one. It's just, oh, this show, this episode updated, and then you can go in, you can see them, you can approve them and let them go. Yeah, so... Yeah. That's how things get adopted, man. Show it.
You know, a Podcast Addict released.
Yeah, it should be fully compliant. So
yeah. It's not beta anymore, so it should. You know, that's a good test bed right there to pull the feed down.
Excellent. Cool. That's all coming. Anything else you got, Dave?
No, I'm good. I think we just have to finish up some of these important tags, and I think we'll be good, and then we'll switch gears we'll switch gears at some point within the next month or so, and from adding new pent up functionality to trying to improve things that may already exist,
right,
but just aren't meeting everybody's needs, like right. the season stuff and everything. So, you know, hopefully, I think by the end of the year, we'll have a good solid base to work from, and we can start trying to whittle away at some of these other things like NPR is talking about. And I know if they're having this problem, then I'm sure this is
other people having the problem.
Yeah. 100%.
Another benefit to all this work is it keeps your mind off of elections and other crazy crap. I find it really cathartic.
I do too.
Very enjoyable. Dave, is there anything else I can get for you? Anything that, within my powers that I can make happen?
Cough drops
on the way, my friend.
a lozenge.
Just a lozenge from time to time. Hey, yeah. Dave, thank you so much, man. It's great catching up. Great board meeting.
Yeah, you too, man.
All right. And have yourself a great weekend, everybody else. We are building the future of podcasting together. Podcasting 2.0. We'll see you next Friday. Adios, everybody. We'll be right back.